You'll find our text tonight in the book of Psalms, chapter 126. Psalms 126. I want to say tonight, He is, Jesus Christ, the best thing that's ever happened to me. Sitting there thinking, nope. What greater could we have tonight, knowing that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, that our sins are forgiven, and that we're not only just going to live, but for eternity? Sammy Allen always told his church, he said, don't get excited. Stay real quiet and stay real calm. Don't make no big deal about it. You're only going to live forever. You know, if we ever get a hold of that, it'll excite us tonight. Psalms 126. Very, very familiar scripture tonight. Verse number 1, the Bible says, when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter, and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. Verse 3, the Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. We could stop and testify tonight and say the Lord has done some great things for us. Turn again our captivity. O Lord, is the stream, as the streams in the south. Verse 5, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth in weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Father, tonight we thank you for the opportunity one more time to be assembled together as brothers and sisters in Christ. Lord, we ask you that you would help us and you'd stir our hearts and minds. Lord, we need something fresh tonight. I pray, Father, that you'd help us. You'd speak to us through the Word of God. Lord, that you'd have preeminence here. Lord, that you would find a place in each and every heart, Father, and you would give that exactly what we need. Many's hurting, many's bereaved. Father, some are needing something spiritual. I don't know the needs, but I'm thankful that you do. And Lord, I pray that you can supply those needs by your riches and glory. Help us tonight. We'll thank you for all you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Psalms 126, verses 1 through 6. We can look at this psalm and we can divided up in three categories, verse 1 and verse 2, we see it's a song. It's a plea. It's a song to God. Then in verse number 3, it's a prayer. And then verse number 5 and 6, we see there's a promise. But I like to take our text tonight out of verse 5 and verse number 6. Very familiar verses. We see that they're verses that many of us have quoted, and we can recite by memory. We find these passages of Scripture are found in the Song of Degrees, a very familiar part of the Psalms. Preachers, many times they preach this Psalm, these two verses, verses 5 and verse number 6, and use it as a soul-winning verses. And I believe we should. I believe we ought to pray for those that are lost. We ought to weep for those that are lost. We ought to cry and beseech our Savior for those that are outside the fold, outside the flock, outside the family of God. And I say tonight, may God give us a burden like we've never had before for the lost, for this community, for our country, and no doubt for our local Baptist churches. May we never give up. May we never give up on praying for the lost and weeping for the lost and losing hope and growing weary and seeking and tearfully crying and begging God to save them. You know, some of you've prayed year after year after year for that lost loved one, maybe that child or that close family member, but you've never seen a change. You've never seen anything grab them and change them. But let me say, don't lose hope. I'm thankful that Jesus Christ did not lose hope on me, a rebellious, a disobedient sinner, But yet in his faithfulness and his care and his compassion and his long suffering, he left those 99 and came for just this one. Don't give hope. Don't lose hope in giving up and praying and weeping over the lost. And we find we ought to pray for those. But that's not the context here in verses 5 and verse number 6 of Psalms 126. We know in reading this, the enemy has surrounded God's children. They have encamped about the children of God. They had cut off all the supplies. They had entrenched them. We find they have cut off all their means of escape. They've cut off all their means of hope. They've cut off all their means of help. No one in and no one out. And we find their starvation is near. The starvation, malnutrition has come upon the people. The stomachs were empty. Those hunger pains were rising. There was nothing to eat, but there was a few that had some seeds. A few that had some, the Bible calls it, some precious seeds. They were seeds that were so near and dear to those that did not have much. You know, they could take these seeds. As that starvation was nearing in, death was looming, and it was very, very close. They could take these seeds, and they could eat these precious seeds for one last meal. To fill their stomachs, to stop that hunger pain, to stop the children from crying and begging for food, or they could go out. Trust God that He would sustain them long enough from the enemy. Trust God that He would keep them and help them while they would sow these seeds and plant these seeds. And if God was gracious and God was good for them, that He would let them live long enough to see the harvest come. And they would go out and they would sow in tears, but they would reap in joy. They could go and plant and sow this seed. And if God in His gracious and His goodness would sustain them, just long enough till the harvest to see these precious seeds come up. Verse 5, it says, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. Do you see the picture? Those moms or dads, those family members, they've been cut off by all means of food and water and all the supplies of daily living. They have some precious seeds. They could eat them, fill their stomach, last for a few more days, ease the pain for a few more hours, or they could trust God. They could sow these seeds, they could plant these seeds, they could scatter these seeds, and maybe, just maybe, God would let them live long enough to see the harvest come again. Look at the promise in verse number 6. The Bible says, he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing, carrying, bearing these precious seeds shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Verse 5, we see there's tears. They're sowing in tears. They're going to reap in joy. Verse number 6, they're bearing and weeping, but they're going to come back rejoicing. I think it's safe to say tonight that this situation, it would make any of us cry. It would make any and every one of us weep and broken just like the children of God. I want to ask the question, just a quick thought tonight. What is it that makes you cry? What is it that burdens you and breaks you, that causes you to weep before God? We find that they sow in tears. They're out there, they're planting these, not knowing if these seeds are going to come up and bear the precious food that they need so meagerly and so desperately, bearing, sowing in tears. But what is it tonight that makes us cry? I had the thought, not about weak emotions, not about some sad, sappy story that brings tears to our eyes or being emotional, basket case, but that thing in our heart that burdens us, that thing in our heart that breaks us, that thing in our heart that causes us to have that godly love, that godly compassion, that godly care for others. You know, I think tonight it's safe to say that I'm glad I'm a part of a church that's not ashamed to cry. I'm glad I'm part of this church that's not ashamed to bear their burdens, to share their burdens, to pray for those that are hurting, to pray for those that are weeping, to offer their help and their in their time of need. But what is it that makes us cry? You know, you can tell a lot about a person by what breaks them. I was thinking of Jonah. God gives Jonah a message. He tells Jonah to go to Nineveh, to preach to Nineveh and tell Nineveh, the city, that God was going to destroy the city. Jonah, by the way of events, and God gets him there. He goes to the city. He preaches, but you never once read about Jonah weeping or lamenting or crying over that city, over those ones, those children, those families that were going to die and go to hell. But yet, Jonah, just a few hours later, needs a little bit of shade. God brings a gourd and gives Jonah a shade for just a short period of time. A worm comes, eats the gourd dries up and dies, and the Bible says that Jonah wished he'd die. You see, Jonah, he wouldn't weep over lost souls. He wouldn't weep over the goodness of God saving. But he wept and lamented over a dead gourd. I think of Mary. She brought that pound of ointment, that spikenard that was very costly. She brings it to Jesus, and there she anoints his feet. She wipes his feet with his hair. The Bible says the odor, the aroma, the smell of that ointment filled the house. It was a picture, knowing the death, the burial of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But yet Judas, he didn't lament over that death. Judas, living, being taught, being loved by our Savior, knew that this death would take place. But he lamented over the fact that it was wasted. He lamented not over our Christ, but he lamented over a few coins. You can tell a lot about a person by what makes them weep, by what makes them cry, by what they lament over. Verse 5, it says, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. Now I was thinking and reading, actually, do you know there's different types of tears? When we cry, when we weep, when we shed those tears and those tears come and fill our eyes and roll down our cheek, there's different types of tears. We know there's different causes to cause us to cry. You can cry for tears of joy, tears of excitement, tears of stress, tears of pain and sorrow, tears of bereavement. There's different types, different things, different causes of tears. But did you know every tear that we cry is different? They tell me when one that cries tears of joy, tears of excitement, that the chemical makeup, the compound of that tear, is totally different than when you cry tears of bereavement, of pain and sorrow. They say you can find protein in those tears of sorrow and pain and stress. Different causes to make us cry, different tears that we shed. Turn with me, if you will, just a quick moment to 1 Samuel chapter number 15. Preaching on the thought, what is it that makes us cry? First Samuel chapter number 15. Just give you a couple of thoughts and I'll be done. First Samuel chapter 15. You know the story. Saul, he's been anointed king over Israel. God did not want Israel to have a king. He wanted his children. He wanted Israel to rely on him and trust him and place their faith and their hope and their confidence in him. He did not want Israel to be like all the other pagan nations. Let me say tonight, God does not want his children to be like the world. God saved us. He set us apart. He separated us. He sanctified us from the world to him. He did not want Israel to be like the pagan nations. And let me say, he doesn't want you and I to be like the world. Yet Israel, they wanted, they were longing, they were desiring a king. And God, you know the story, he gives them the desires of his heart. Saul, he's been anointed. Samuel goes and he anoints Saul. God tells Samuel to tell Saul to go to them Amalekites, to destroy them, to utterly destroy them, to spare them not. But Saul, he spared King Agag. Saul spared the best of oxen. He spared the best of the sheep, the best of all the lambs. The Bible said all that was good. And for this, the kingdom was taken from Saul. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse number 10. Then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, It repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king. For he has turned back from following me and hath not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. This grieved Samuel. God taking the kingdom from the one that he anointed. And the Bible says that Samuel cried all night. What is it that makes you and I cry and weep before God? Here, the leader of Israel, the very heart of leadership, the very king himself, the king is going to be replaced, and Samuel cries, laments, he weeps all night. I see, number one, I think that Samuel must have felt confused. God told Samuel. He tells Samuel to go anoint him. Samuel's faithful. Samuel does what God tells him to, but now he's going to remove Saul, he's rejected Saul, but yet he leaves Saul on the throne for a period of time. Can you imagine how confusing this must be to Samuel? Lord, you told me to anoint, and I did. Lord, you told me to go, and you chose him. I did your will. I did what you told me. I had high hopes. I had high dreams for Saul, for Israel. I invested in him. I've loved him. I've shown for him. I've prayed him, and I've watched over him. And now, Lord, you have wrote a different ending. Confused. The man of God, confused. Prayed. Prayed. And prayed, but yet it just didn't work out like Samuel expected. I wonder if that's our case. Those things that we pray for, those things that we long for, we know and we think that it's God's will, that it's God's desire to perform and to execute in our life and in our church and our families, and we've prayed and prayed and prayed, but yet we find there's a different outcome. We find it's not the way we intended it, and it's left us confused. I believe Samuel was confused. But let me say, I believe Samuel was also convicted. You know, way down inside, I believe Saul forgot the key to all of this. It was never God's will for Israel to have a king. God gave the people what they wanted over his own very will. God will give us what we want over his own will. Have you ever received, possessed, or come into something that you desired so bad? That you longed for so bad, but yet looking back years or months or weeks, you know it must not have been God's will by the problems it gave, by the stress it caused, or the money that it cost you. You say, preacher, what is it? What is it? God's will for my life. You, pastor, I have some great desires for this church. There's some great, marvelous, wonderful, big things I desire to see this church do and to have this church, but I think that we must be so very careful that it's not what we want for God's church, but it's what his will is for the church. You know, God didn't want the king for Israel. And Saul knew that he was that chosen one that wasn't in God's will. I think Samuel may have felt convicted. You know, Samuel, he desired and he had a close bond with King Saul. We find he lamented, he wept, he cried over Saul. Saul, we know he was filled with vanity. Saul was filled with pride. You never see or read about Saul weeping or crying. It's always the prophet. Let me say, we must be careful, so very careful, as individuals, as church members, and a church corporately, on who we bond with. Samuel bonded with someone outside of God's will. And it's as if the Lord rebukes Samuel for it. In chapter 16, verse number 1, the Bible says, "And the Lord said unto Samuel, How long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him for reigning over Israel?" Samuel, if you hadn't hooked up with Saul, Samuel, if you hadn't yoked up with Saul, if you hadn't bonded with Saul, you would not be mourning for Saul. But God tells the prophet, he tells the man of God, he said, "Samuel, you've always been a prophet. You'll always be a prophet." He's saying, "You may feel confused, you may be feeling convicted, but while you were crying and pleading with me, I was preparing someone that to fill a position. While you were confused and convicted, while you were sobbing," he said, "I was selecting. While you were pleading, I was preparing a shepherd boy by the name of David, the son of Jesse, to lead my people." He tells Samuel to go, to fill your horn, to go with oil and go. He's told Samuel there is a future, there's a hope, no matter what you're weeping and you're praying for. He's saying, "Samuel, there's still hope." I wonder tonight, what is it we're crying over? What precious seed? What a precious thing are we carrying? What are we burdened over? What is it that makes us cry and plead and weep before the Lord? Like Samuel, we may be confused. We may be convicted. We may be felt cheated somewhere down the line. But nevertheless, God's will was going to work out. Tonight you might be saying, "It's all well with my soul. It's all well with my family. Everything's going good. I'm on the mountaintop. It seems like, preacher, there's nothing in front of me that I'm worried or concerned about." I think tonight would be a good time to ask the Lord to burden us. Burden us over that precious seed. Burden us over those lost seeds. Burden us over our community, over our Baptist churches. I believe some of us have some family members, some close friends that's not saved. It's outside the will of God. What is it we're weeping over? What is it we're crying over? What is it we're burdened over tonight? Tonight would be a good time to say, "Lord, burden us. Burden us for the lost, for the community, and for our country." What is it that has us crying? Our text verse in verse number 5 of Psalms 26. The Bible says, "They that sow in tears, they that work, they that scatter, they that plant in tears, shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and reapeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." It's my prayer that we would weep tonight over the right things. We would pray for God's will. God would burden us for the lost, that we could see souls saved. That's my message. That's my thought tonight. Let's all stand. I'm going to ask Jason and Misty and Natalie if they'll come and sing something. My prayer tonight is he'd burden us as a church, as individuals, to weep and to pray, to cry over the things he desires. This altar's open, whatever your need is tonight. Those things that you desire for my life. God, you know the needs of this church. And Lord,
troubles come against me, And I feel so overwhelmed when it seems the more I try giving, that my troubles seem to swell. When I've reached the end of me, and my faith is growing dim, I hear a still voice whisper, just bring it all to Him. And I just bring it all to Him. When no one understands, when you're looking for an answer, God always has a plan. And when the burdens get so heavy and your sight is getting dim, oh, how sweet it is to know that I can bring it all to Him. Throne room of my Savior, I find a sweet relief. I find strength to bear my burdens. I find comfort for my grief. When my cup is overflowing and He fills it to the rim, oh, what a blessed consolation when I bring it all to Him. And I just bring it all to Him. When no one understands, when you're looking for an answer, God always has a plan. And when the burdens get so heavy and your side is getting dim, oh, how sweet it is in knowing I can bring it all to Him. Holy at the throne of God, just fall down on your knees. He will hear your troubled cry and meet your every need. Just bring it all to Him. When no one understands, when you're looking for an answer, God always has a plan. And when the burdens get so heavy and your side is getting dim, oh, how sweet it is in knowing I can bring it all to Him. Oh, how sweet it is in knowing I can bring it all to Him.